Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
4 in 10 Irish people will be classified as obese by 2050. That's according to research published in The Lancet, which finds that Ireland is one of the countries at risk of a major surge in overweight and obesity rates in the next 25 years. Let's get more on this now with Maura Finn, who's a GP in County Clare. So Maura, in general practice, in your own general practice, in your own experience, what sorts of rates of obesity are you seeing?
It's kind of hard to say, to be honest. We do try to take baseline levels on every patient that comes in, but it's imperfect. We'd have better numbers for medical card population than for the private population, and better for adults than children. But it is, I would estimate it around 30, maybe just over 30%, which is higher than it would have been, you know, 10, 20 years ago. So we are seeing it increasing. These figures are quite alarming, though, aren't they? But they are international figures. But we're definitely doing too well in that international kind of stakes there. We're up in the top 10 countries of the world, as you know, predicted as what our obesity rates will be by 2050, which is very frightening from the point of view of public health as well as everything else, health costs, general health, chronic diseases, and then mental health as well, because that's a huge part of people when they are obese or are struggling with their weight.
Do you think people are, in general, though, are aware now of the health risks associated with obesity, everything that you've outlined there? What do you think the awareness is in general population about those issues?
I think there's an awareness about the fact that obesity is linked to chronic disease, and it is in itself a chronic disease, and it's a complex chronic disease. However, what I do wonder is, do people, are they aware that they themselves may be in that overweight or obese category? And that's a difficult thing, and it's a particularly difficult thing in general practice. And I have to say, I struggle with it a little bit myself. It's a difficult conversation to start with somebody. Like, where do you start there? I mean, we're meant to kind of say, you know, is it okay to discuss your weight today? But you could run the risk of really upsetting somebody. And then there's that really fine balance, because eating disorders and disordered eating is a really big problem, and that population is very underserved as well. So it's difficult. So I feel that the onus should be on a kind of a public health education campaign that really tells people how to kind of look at their weight, not just about their BMI, but looking at their waist circumference and other things that actually are good parameters to actually kind of tell you whether or not you're in a situation where your health has been affected by your weight.
Mm-hmm. And when we see these figures coming from The Lancet and this prediction that, you know, we're going to have 4 in 10 people classified as obese here by 2050, people might say, well, we have drugs like Ozempic now. Is that not the fix?
Well, no, it's a part of the fix. It's a multifactorial issue. And there's so many different factors involved. Genetics, there's education, there's environment. Hugely important, it's nutrition and education around nutrition. And because it's multifactorial in its development, it's also multifactorial and complex in its management. And weight management clinics will have psychology, occupational therapy, physiotherapy, dietitians. There's a huge part, very big staff of people who are involved in this. So Ozempic and drugs like that are part of the solution, but only part of the solution. And I have to say, they're actually a very effective part of the solution for some of the people involved. But it has to go back to education about these ultra-processed food, about maternal health and breastfeeding, about how our families feed our children, and how school children leave school and go straight to the local garage where they get a breakfast roll or something worse, that and a sugary drink that's part of a kind of combined deal. That is how these obesity levels are going up. It's instead of actually teaching people how to feed ourselves in convenient food is not necessarily healthy food. And even things that are sold as healthy food are often unhealthy because they're full of sugars and ultra processed. It's about going back to basics. Mm-hmm. But I know we've spoken about this before, and it's a big issue. And I don't know how that has to happen, but I think it has to go to a public health campaign as opposed to, you know, trying to target individuals.
And if the problems start in childhood, in early childhood, in your experience, Maura, are they much more difficult to address?
Absolutely. And it's very difficult to actually bring it up in a consultation, in the scenario of being in a room with maybe a 12-year-old boy or girl, who is obviously, what you will do is you'll talk about their lifestyle. Are they playing sports? Are they, what are they doing? How are they eating? But it's difficult to suggest that, you may be a little overweight, or you may be struggling with a little bit with, your BMI. You don't even use those words with them. And I find it particularly difficult because I have a number of patients with eating disorders, and you do not want to be the person that'll trigger that with somebody as well. Of course, we have to deal with the individuals. That's my job. That's our job as medics, to kind of deal with individual risk factors. But really, the issue here should be a public health campaign and educating people about, like I say, nutrition. And how to, and the things that we can change. There's many factors around obesity that we can't change, but we should try and address the things that we can.
If somebody has obesity, though, I mean, are they past the point of being able to address it with increased activity and reducing intake? Or do you think that's still a good starting point? What do you do when you're classified as obese?
Well, that is obviously the awful thing, the idea that somebody who is obese is told to eat less and move more. And we know it's not as simple as that. And most often these people have struggled for years and have gone on many, many diets and have used lots of different techniques from an exercising point of view. So it's not as simple as that, but it is a part of the solution. And that's the whole thing. It's very complex. And to kind of say that only drugs like Ozempic will work, or only exercising more will work, none of those things work in isolation. It's about looking at the entire picture. But you do have to look at, your lifestyle. Like, lifestyle modification is the most important part of this. Even if you're put on a prescription drug, if you put on a prescription drug like Ozempic, it may actually help you lose weight. And it does have massive effects for people who are pre-diabetic or pre-hypertensive or haven't quite developed osteoarthritis because of their weight yet. So I do feel that's a really big space for them. But they still have to exercise. They have to make sure that they don't just lose muscle weight. They have to actually build up muscle while they actually are using these drugs. They need to eat a good quality food, high protein food while they're eating, because, you reduce the amount of food, but it still has to be nutritious. So do you see what I mean? It's the whole picture is what's so important here.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the figures in this Lancet study. By 2050, 80% of men over the age of 25 in this country will be overweight or obese. That will be the sixth highest in a list, which will be headed by Chile, Australia and Greece. What is it? I mean, you mentioned public health policy. What is it that we're getting so wrong?
It's hard to say. I mean, I do think it is public health, and I think it's how we've actually kind of developed this interest in convenience food. The idea, you go into any supermarket and there are pre-packaged foods. There is meals that are ready to be bought. And I absolutely understand how these are necessary in some situations. But they are, if you make your food from scratch, if you buy your ingredients that are whole ingredients, you should only eat things that are actually something that is identifiable as a fruit or vegetable or whatever it is in its whole form to begin with, not a pre-prepared food, because they're full of sugar and it's all these other kind of trans fats, it's other fats that are in them. You don't know how they're processed. The cheaper they are, the more likely they are to have no nutritional value at all. Mm-hmm. So you've got calorie value, but no nutritional value. And I do believe that, from a school point of view, that is something that can be addressed, and how to teach children to understand labels or looking at food. And we really have to go back to basics. These figures, our obesity figures, have gone up since the population has used kind of processed food more. When I was a child, you ate fruit and vegetables and two veg and a meat dinner, whatever it was. It was boring, and it was probably it wasn't always the best quality of stuff for a lot of people, but it was still made from scratch, and that, therefore it was actually a better quality, and the nutritional value was understood in it. Mm-hmm. And I know people would kind of think it's about convenience, and we're all time poor, but some buying a convenient food is not necessarily the quickest way to feed a child or feed yourself either. A stir fry takes minutes to make, but I think, again, that's about education around how to cook and how to prepare meals.
All right. Well, we see from this study that there is a job of work to be done to try and avoid what is predicted in that Lancet study coming to pass. Dr. Maura Finn, thank you very much for being with us. Now, coming up later on, we're going to have an update from Rome on the Pope's health. And after the break, what impact will the government's proposed new Airbnb rules have on the tourism industry?
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.